Hello and welcome to the Work Like a Laker podcast. I'm Megan Rickson. Today, my co-host is Grace Joaquin, and we are talking about the topic of neurodiversity in the workplace. So let's kick it off right away. Grace, why is neurodivergence in the workplace important?
Yeah, so I have some statistics that were presented to us by the Autism Alliance of Michigan. They were wonderful. They talked to our staff and gave us a lot of great info. And so I'm going to share some of those statistics and also say their original sources. So first of all, Gen Z will make up about 30% of the U.S. workforce in 2030.
That's crazy, by the way.
I know. That's insane. I know. And this
is not that far away.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I think it was the same thing that happened to millennials, where people just think of Gen Z as like being teenagers still, but they're
totally
not. I mean, some of them might still be, but I think most of them are in their 20s now.
A lot of them are full-blown adults.
Yeah. And in the workforce. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and that stat was according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. And then we also have a poll of Gen Zers entering the workforce who indicated that 53% of them identify as neurodivergent. And this is according to an article from Forbes. So, you know, I'm not going to do all that math, but if 30% of our workforce mm-hmm. is Gen Z and then 53% of those individuals identify as neurodivergent, that's obviously going to be a large portion of our workforce.
It's a big chunk.
And not including all of the millennials, Gen X, et cetera, who also identify that way.
For sure.
And then last here, we have 80% of Gen Z report being less likely to work for a company that lacks support for health issues and neurodiversity. This is from Facilitate magazine, which like that stat makes complete sense to me. I think most people should feel that way, honestly. Like you want to work for an employer who's going to support you. So,
right. Exactly. And not only is it important, you know, from the employer perspective, because we want our employees to be treated well and have support, but it's also the law. The Americans with Disabilities Act defines disability as a physical or mental impairment that substantially limits one or more major life activities. So autism, for example, does fall under the ADA. It is considered a disability under the ADA and is recognized as a type of neurodiversity. And the ADA, essentially, it's a law that protects individuals with disabilities from discrimination in the workplace. So we want a supportive workplace, of course, but just baseline, we need to be avoiding discrimination in the workplace. And then just to note that disclosing a disability is a personal choice. So people are not obligated to disclose under the ADA. That still is very much up to the individual.
Yeah. And I think, you know, not only is it the law, but also I think it's a benefit to companies to hire diversely. And one thing I will say is that disability inclusion leaders realize that they have marked business gains over other participants. And so, again, that's just a benefit to employers to hire diversely. And one way that employers can do this is by creating a sense of belonging in the workplace. Difference exists in the workplace, whether it be personality, gender, physical size, opinions, approaches to work, etc. Everyone requires some sort of accommodation. So consider neurodiversity as a part of our natural world, not something that is obscure.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
Yeah. So, you know, employers can keep that in mind and also, again, realizing it is a benefit. And on that note, Megan, can you share some strengths neurodiverse individuals might show in the workplace?
Yeah, absolutely. The NIH actually has a study on neurodiversity at work, so we were able to pull some really great information from that. So the first would be strengths of autistic individuals in the workplace. They might be things like superior memory, attention to detail, logistical, systematic, and pattern recognition, ability to work independently, maybe a more sustained focus, dedication. I mean, this list really goes on and on. Efficiency, empathy, the NIH, really, they gave us a lot there. So that's for artistic individuals. So another form of neurodiversity in the workplace would be individuals with ADHD. And some of their strengths in the workplace can include creativity, problem solving. They might be great in crisis situations. They can be adaptable and also very focused. So those are just, you know, a very, very limited couple of examples. But certainly you kind of get the sense that, yeah, we're not just talking about things that need to be accommodated, but things that are being brought into the workforce as well.
Yeah. And also keeping in mind that, of course, every individual is different and unique. And so these strengths are a generalization, but it is just some examples of how, again, hiring diversely can really improve an organization.
Right. Exactly. Bring something perhaps different to the table. All right, Grace, can you start us out with some tangible tips then for employers?
Yes. So first and foremost, you have to create an inclusive environment. One way to do this would be to include examples of disclosure language to your employees if they wanted to have a reference of how to do that. You could also include some scripts for how to request accommodation. So again, then the employee doesn't have to wonder. They have some ideas of how they can talk about that, and also then know that it's okay because they have these examples for them. Some ways to be accommodating in your workplace would be to have quiet working spaces. You could offer headphones. You could make sure employees know they can take quick breaks to reduce sensory overloads. You could have fidget spinners all around. You could also educate your team on how to be inclusive of neurodivergent individuals. You could educate HR professionals on inclusive hiring practices. Some examples include use clear, non-vague language and job postings / hiring procedures, and then also allow extra time for interviews. You can provide questions for writing during interviews as well. I think that's also just good practice. For a lot of these, you'll find, are just good practice for everyone.
For the general population.
Yes.
Every single person can benefit from non-vague language in a job posting, right? Like, who wants that?
Total, exactly. Yeah. And then last for inclusive environment, at least that we're going to talk about today, is educating employees on characteristics of neurodivergent employees. As important as it is for managers, it is also important for peers and the team members of neurodivergent employees to understand neurodivergent characteristics.
Yeah, so without calling people out, right? Yeah. But just kind of general information for everyone who works there.
The more you know, the better you can be a great support for your teammates. So, and then another thing that is a great tip for employers is to set expectations for interpersonal skills and communication. Dress and hygiene, let all of your employees know explicitly what is the dress code of this workspace. Be clear on hair and body hygiene. For social behavior, set clear social expectations. Share policies regarding social relationships, electronic use, written and verbal communication expectations, and the list goes on. So again, this is just something that not only would support neurodivergent employees, but everyone, to just be clear about what your expectations are.
Exactly.
Megan, do you have some more?
Yeah, for sure. I think around supervision, that's certainly an area. I mean, you and I, we supervise interns here in the office, and we are thinking about how we're communicating our expectations constantly and what that looks like. So having at the organizational level, be able to say, here's how we supervise people. Here's how individuals, employees will be receiving communications. Here's how often they will be communicated with. Here's how feedback is provided. And kind of, in a way, standardizing that throughout an organization can be a really great step for an employer to take to really provide an environment that, again, is just inclusive and supportive for everyone.
Yes. I as far as I know, I'm not neurodiverse, but all those things you just listed, I would love.
It would be amazing.
Yes.
Yes. And this next one for me too, I'm a big fan of organization. So daily organization, some tips and ideas, providing those to employees. If possible, try to offer consistency in scheduling, providing timelines for task completion, using plain language and visual supports for written materials and instructions. Again, we're all such different learners. So if you can write something out, but there's also an accompanying visual support, great. That's going to help everyone. All right. So covered a few of these tangible tips for employers, but I think we also have some great tips for our students, for alumni, really for any candidate kind of moving into the world of work. So Grace, do you want to start us out with a few of those?
Yes. So for any individual starting out in the world of work, you might want to disclose to your employer your needs or accommodations. This is totally optional and based on your comfort level, but that if you feel comfortable doing so, that might be helpful to you. You can clarify with your supervisor what the work expectations are, what are the supervision styles, work culture, task completion, etc. So maybe even having a list beforehand of things you want to clarify with your supervisor might be helpful. So think about, too, what habits have helped you be successful in the past? Can you implement these strategies in your workplace? So, you know, how did you succeed in school? What are some strategies you used? And, you know, carry those on with you as you enter the workforce. Can you set your physical workspace up for success? So thinking about that, especially on day one, because I don't know about you, but once you're 3 years in, sometimes it's hard to adjust. So like starting fresh and just saying, I'm not going to have this clutter, or I'm going to have like an organizational system that I'm going to set up right at the beginning that can be helpful. So thinking about that right away. Communicate in advance with your supervisor your needs, again, as you feel comfortable. And then students can talk with the Student Accessibility Resource Office if you have any further questions or want more specifics on that. So then finally, Megan, do you have any resources to support employers in regard to this area?
Yeah, absolutely. There are a ton of organizations doing work around this. So I'm just going to kind of share this list, and we will absolutely provide links to each of these in the show notes so you can check out their websites and see all the things they offer. So MI Life, Michigan Rehabilitation Services, EARN, that's an EARN acronym, Job Accommodation Network, the Partnership on Employment and Accessible Technology, Disability Advocates of Kent County, and the Center for Disability Inclusion. So, of course, we will link all of those. All right. So now we get to hear from David Stedman, who is a GVSU alum and, fun fact, was also a graduate assistant in the Career Center. So, David, can you tell us about yourself?
My name is David Stedman, and I recently completed a Master of Education at Grand Valley State University. I represent neurodiversity in the workplace. As someone on the autism spectrum, over the years, I've learned a lot about my own needs, and I've seen how much difference it makes when workplaces value neurodiversity.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing some thoughts with us. So next, I would like to know, what are some ways that employers or supervisors have made you feel comfortable in the past?
The biggest thing that made me feel comfortable is the multiple formats of learning, honestly. Every neurodiverse worker has different needs. Some learn best with audio, some visually, some by rereading materials. Employers who offer this environment and this universal design with accessible formats, I believe, create teams where everyone can truly thrive.
Great. Okay. Now, how about, do you have any examples of how you've advocated for yourself in the workplace?
For me, advocacy means just knowing my accommodations I need and communicating them clearly. I've learned to say, here's where I need support and here's where I can really thrive. It's about setting myself up for success and just being transparent with my neurodiversity. And I've realized self-advocating is really the difference maker, and these accommodations are the difference maker in success in the workplace.
Great. Really good to hear that you've been able to advocate for yourself. And now my final question is, what advice would you have for neurodiverse students who are going into the workforce?
Remember that you are celebrated. Neurodiversity drives innovation and creativity. And lean into your strengths and remember that. Truly just celebrate your value. The value you bring isn't just in skills. It's in perspective, focus, and a new way of thought.
Great. Well, thank you so much, David, for sending in your thoughts to us. We really appreciate it. All right. Well, that is all for our episode today. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we hope you tune in to a future episode soon.